Welcome to the Vintage Faith Podcast. We are a Foursquare church based in Culver City, California. We're committed to taking care of our community through the teachings of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. Our heart is to encounter God, equip the church, and love the city. Expect to hear sermons from our senior pastor, Matt Kladnick, as well as our guest speakers. For more info, check us out at vffchurch.com.
I'm not preaching today. Tim Lee is here. And I'm going to cut it quick because he's got a six-hour sermon. So hope you all don't mind fasting lunch. You had communion, you're fine. But hey, Tim is here with us. Tim pastors a church in Lancaster. He's a good man, a good friend of mine. And I don't want to do too big of a buildup, but I trust him and his words come, they're ready for us. Right? And some people I've asked to preach, I said, tell me what's ever on your heart the most. And Tim, I said, preach whatever is heaviest on your heart and what you feel like the Lord is saying to the church. That's the most important thing. And I believe he's going to do just that. So can we just welcome Tim Lee?
Thanks. The introduction is great, but what they whisper in your ear after they tell you the thing publicly is, that's always good too. Hey, before I get into it, would you turn in your Bibles to Exodus chapter 4? And while you're turning there, the Lord gave me a word for your church that is, it's a fresh word. The old school biblical title for this would be a Rhema word. This would be the fresh word that the Lord gave to me today. In Ephesians chapter 4, some people refer to this passage 11 through 17 as the constitution of the church. I wholeheartedly believe that that is an accurate assessment of the text. I won't read to you the whole thing, but it says that the purpose of the church will continue in verse 13, Ephesians 4. You don't need to turn there. I'm just reading this to you. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever that they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. And here's what I wrote down during worship. So that was the text that reinforces what the Lord said to me about Vintage Faith. And I just want to say this to you as a blessing. I don't know if you know this, but when people want to be trained for law enforcement, particularly to spot counterfeit currency, they don't give those trainees counterfeit currency in training. They give them real currency. And the reason that they give them real currency is so that they can spend all of their time in training with real currency in their hands. They learn the touch. They learn how it folds. They learn what kind of creases can be made and how long it takes to make those kinds of creases. They learn the smell of it, and some of the weird ones even learn the taste of it. But they spend all of their time with, listen to this, with the real thing. Because counterfeits are coming out all of the time. There's always new ways to counterfeit currency. And then here's what the Lord said to me, because we know as we go out into the world, when you walk out those doors after church is over today, you know you're going to walk out into a world full of counterfeit faith, counterfeit religion, counterfeit truth, counterfeit love, counterfeit hope. And the Lord said to me about Vintage Faith, about a church that we have prayed for a number of years now before ever getting to come and do worship with you on a Sunday morning. My wife, Sharon, and I co-pastor our church in Lancaster, and we love Pastor Grace and Pastor Matt so much. But here's just sitting in worship with you today. Here's what the Lord said. This place is the real thing. And I want you to understand, it's not because you had dynamic worship leaders today. I happen to know Pastors Mike and Christy personally. I've known them for a number of years, and I know that they could walk into any place and lead genuine, honest worship in any environment. That's a gift that the Lord has given them, and they pour a lot of time into making that kind of sacrifice. But it's interesting that when guest worship leaders can come in and not have to do a whole lot of preambular stuff to get people worshiping, that's not a commentary on Pastor Mike and Pastor Christy. That's a commentary on you. So the Lord said, the Lord's giving them their kudos and praise the Lord for these people who are talented. Also, praise the Lord for Pastor Matt, Pastor Grace. But thank God for a church that is leadable and willing to enter in. So the Lord says he's proud of you. In fact, this is a perfect segue into the actual message that I have for you today, because God sent me to tell you, here's what he told me this morning as I was praying for you. Before we get into Exodus chapter 4, the Lord said to me that the message that he had already prepared for me to bring to you today is the perfect timing for you, because some of you have been coming in to hear some good stuff. You've been coming in to get built up. Maybe some of you just been coming for the worship. I listen to Pastor Matt's preaching on your podcast, so I know some of you are coming for some good preaching. You have a good preacher in this house. In fact, let's say thank you for a good preacher and a good pastor in this church. This morning, the Lord said, I am so proud of the people of Vintage Faith Foursquare Church. So he sent me with a word that is going to stretch you a little bit. He sent me with a word that's going to challenge you a little bit. Number one, because he thinks that you can take it. He thinks you can take a challenge and a stretch. But for the second reason, because he thinks you're ready for it. He thinks it's time. I heard the Lord say he's so excited for you to be stretched and challenged this morning. So are you ready to be? Can I move this out of the, I don't like to break anything. If I break it, I'll have my my church council buy you a new one. And they won't listen to this recording, so they won't know what they're in for when I get home. But anyway, I've got this challenging word. Can we read Exodus chapter 4? Let's go ahead and start in verse 1, and then I'll give you a little bit of the back context. We'll just jump right in. What do you say? It says, but Moses protested again. He does that a few times. It says, what if they won't believe me? By the way, he's talking to God, just in case you've never heard this story before. What if they won't believe me or listen to me? What if they say the Lord never appeared to you? Then the Lord asked him, what is that in your hand? A shepherd's staff, Moses replied. Throw it down on the ground, the Lord told him. So Moses threw the staff down, and it turned into a snake. By the way, I love when I listen to my daughter, my six-year-old daughter, Selah, read, because when she sees an exclamation mark at the end, she doesn't put any exclamation into any of the sentence until the last word. So she would read it like this. So Moses threw down the staff, and it turned into a snake. And Moses, in what is hands down the most appropriate response in all of Scripture, it says, Moses jumped back. Verse 4 says, then the Lord told him, reach out and grab its tail. Say tail. So Moses reached out and grabbed it, and it turned back into a shepherd's staff in his hand. Perform this sign, the Lord told him. Then they will believe that the Lord, the God of your ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob really has appeared to you. Now, I came today to preach to you a message called Graduation Day. Message is called Graduation Day. I feel like this is a word that the Lord put on my heart. I've actually preached this at my church, and I saw the response that happened as people began to wrestle with this idea of being called to a graduation day. And I just had this message, something I preached a little while ago, and then the Lord said, when I was talking with Pastor Matt, he said, this word is for Vintage Faith. They're ready for this word. So I'm excited to hear, as I come and make a mess today, how Pastor Matt has to go and clean it up over the next few months about all the stuff you guys are going to start doing as a response to the word today. But today I want to talk to you in this message called Graduation Day about three kingdom graduations. For the record, there are many kingdom graduations, and I want to talk to you about three of them specifically as we watch this story unfold about Moses and his shepherding staff. So you notice the text that we jumped into. Let me give you a little bit of context for the moment that we just read about. So Moses is having this conversation in Exodus chapter 3 with God. He shows up in the form of a burning bush, and that catches Moses' attention because the bush doesn't actually burn up, but it's on fire. That's pretty cool. If you ever see that, you should pay attention. It might be the Lord. So Moses is having this conversation. God tells him, I want you to go and set the people free from Pharaoh in Egypt. And Moses says, but I don't know that I'm the right guy. Moses has this interesting dialogue, sidebar. It's always pretty cool to watch the way that God is okay with us debating and dialoguing and pushing back. He's not worried about whether or not you dialogue. He's wondering whether or not you'll eventually be obedient, though. So they have an interesting dialogue back and forth. Moses isn't so much concerned about God's plan. He's actually concerned with God's choice of rescuer. He says, I'm not the right guy for the job. Send somebody else. And so by the time we get into chapter 4, God has already given him several responses. And this time, instead of giving him a response, he gives him a sign. So I told you today that I want to talk to you about several graduations, and so we start at level one. Level one is the first graduation where you have to come to a place where the Lord tells you, pick up your staff. Now, The point of this first graduation is to pick up your staff, but what's interesting is that's not actually where this conversation began. Where the conversation actually began is when God asks Moses a question. The question is, Moses, what's in your hand? If you were paying attention, then what you know is, by the way, I brought props, so I'm just going to go get one right here. What you notice is that Moses answers the question. He says, I've got a staff in my hand. Now, that's a staff. This staff sits in a closet in my office where I pray. I go into the closet to pray at my church because I'm weird. Somebody gave me this shepherding staff, and it reminds me to do a good job shepherding God's people. And so this was in the same way that I've had some encounters. Moses is about to have an encounter with a staff. He says, what's in your hand? Now, I want you to understand, this shepherding staff, for a guy who up until this point had only shepherded animals but was about to be called to shepherd people, this represented Moses' identity. He was a shepherd. It was who he was. It was the thing he was passionate about. It was the thing that he was naturally good at doing. For the record, all of you have a passion, a thing you're naturally good at doing. It's the thing you would pay to be able to do because you love to do it so much. You have an identity, and I believe, and I think you probably would agree with me, that this is a God-given identity. So the shepherding staff is a representation of his identity. In a sense, God is saying, Moses, who are you? And what's really interesting is that two things happen next. The first thing that happens is that God tells him to throw the staff down on the ground. Now, this is mine, so it's okay when I do that, okay? He tells him to throw the staff on the ground. But pay attention to the next thing that he tells him to do. He says, I want you to pick it up. What was the word I had you say? Tail. He says, pick it up by the tail. So now just use your imagination for a second. You guys all watch TV all the time, so you have an imagination. He tells him to pick it up by the tail because at this point it's turned into a snake. Remember? We yelled that word. He tells him to pick it up by the tail, and this actually represents two things. You see, when he told him to throw the staff down on the ground, it was a sign of being willing to make a sacrifice. Are you willing to put your identity down so that you can be used by God? Are you willing to throw everything that you're passionate? Are you willing to let it all go? Are you willing to sacrifice all of who you are so that you can be used by God? And what's so good about God is that in the same conversation, God says, I want you to give up everything that you are, but I'm also going to invite you to pick it up. So when you throw it down, God proves his power with your identity. He turns it into a snake. And then he says, pick it up by the tail. If you've ever seen a snake and picked it up by the tail, you had better have heard from God. He tells him to pick it up by the tail, but here's why. Because throwing it down represents a sacrifice. Picking it up by the tail represents submission. Because God invites you to throw down everything that you are so that you can be used by him. But he immediately invites you to pick it up in a way that is dangerous to you, putting you in a place where you need God to protect you. My strengths and passions could be destructive if not submitted to God. I have this gift and ability to talk. I can gather people around me. If I wanted to do that not submitted to God, I could lead a church that looked like me, that followed me instead of God. I need to be the kind of person, and you have the kind of pastor here in this church as well. I say that because I know him personally, that he actually has picked up all of his own gifts and talents by the tail. Snakes don't have backbones like you do. They can come around and bite you. He's invited you to pick up your talents in a way that God has got to protect you from yourself. But you also have to be submitted to the Lord. So the first graduation comes as you lay down everything you are in your own power, and you pick it up submitted to God. Good. As we move through the story, I just want you to hear this one more time, that the first graduation comes as you throw down control and as you pick up your identity in a way that positions you to be used by God. The first graduation is not about necessarily being used by God. It's about positioning you for the potential to be used by God. If you're looking for control of your life, God can't use you, right?
let's move really, really quickly through this story. If you turn in your Bible to Exodus chapter 17, you'll find the next place where we see the staff coming into the story in a significant way. At this point, there's been a rhythm and a pattern developed in Moses' life where he will have a problem, he'll go to God with his problem, and God will tell him to use the staff, his identity, in order to have a miraculous thing happen in the environment, right? So you remember the time where he was told to, you know, part the sea with the staff and they walked through, kind of a big deal. They made a cartoon about it. You probably saw that. Well, in Exodus 17, we see another story. It says that the Lord's command, the whole community of Israel left the wilderness of Sin and moved from place to place. Eventually, they came and camped at Rephidim, but there was no water there for the people to drink. So once more, the people complained against Moses. By the way, this is how your senior pastor hears your voice when you complain. So when you whine and complain, I don't go to this church, so I can say stuff like this. So this is how Pastor Matt hears it when people complain in his church. This is how Moses heard it too. They said, "Give us water to drink," they demanded. "Quiet." This is the thing. Now this is the part where Matt wishes he could talk to you like this. "Quiet," Moses replied. "Why are you complaining against me? And why are you testing the Lord?" But tormented by thirst, they continued to argue with Moses. "Why did you bring us out of Egypt? And why are you trying to kill our children and our livestock with thirst?" Then Moses cried out to the Lord, "What should I do with these people? They are ready to stone me." He's probably felt like that too, Pastor Matt. Pray for your pastor. But the Lord said to Moses, "Walk out in front of the people, take your staff, the one you used when you struck the water of the Nile, and call some of the elders of Israel to join you, and I will stand before you on the rock at Mount Sinai. Strike the rock, and the water will come gushing out. Then the people will be able to drink." So Moses struck the rock as he was told, and the water gushed out, and as the elders looked on. So again, there's this habit that's been created, and again, the Lord tells him, use the staff as the means to get, use your identity as the means to get the miracle. Now, here's what I want you to understand. It's really simple, but at this point, he's been using the staff many, many times in his life. At this point, he's been comfortable by his identity being used by God. If you read through all the way up to Exodus 17, at this point, the staff and Moses, they're synonymous. He's going to use the staff to do something awesome. So when the people saw the staff get taken out, everybody was like, "Oh, something's going down." That's what they all knew. But what I want you to have as an understanding is that graduation number two, which is called strike the rock, graduation number two happens when you are confident enough in your identity that you can run up against a seemingly impossible problem, and rather than it being you, it's the problem that gives way.
Yeah, that's good.
Let me say that to you again. A lot of Christians run up against issues and their faith gives way because they haven't been being used by God enough that when they come up against resistance, they go, "Okay, I quit." Another way we say that, because we're Christians, so we know the language, is that we say, "Oh, this must not be God's will," because a challenge came up. And so many of us are so unused to being used by God through our identity and our gifts and our talents and our passions that when the devil comes up and puts resistance in front of us, or circumstances come up and puts resistance in front of us, that we just cave. But graduation number two is when you're used to being used by God so much, when you're used to seeing breakthrough happen so much that you can come up against the dry, rocky place, and it's the dry, rocky thing that gives way to your passion. Not because you're amazing, but because you and God have created such a recurring habit of him being able to use who you are to see great things happen in your life. So what was amazing was that they came up to a dry place and Moses just allowed God to work through him with his identity one more time. And this great miracle happened. That's what it would look like for you if you were to move on to level number two, where you can strike the rock. Now, I know I'm moving pretty quick here, but there's a final place I want to get you to today. If you were to read your Bible, as I know you all do, I mean, you guys have a pastor who writes devotionals for you, so I know you're well-versed in reading and studying the scriptures. So if you were to move through the next 69 chapters of the Bible, you'd move through a couple of books, and you'd eventually land at Numbers chapter 20. And in Numbers chapter 20 is the next time that we see, in a very significant way, the staff of Moses coming into play, and this is the place where I really want us to land today. This is where I think that God is going to begin to, if he hasn't already, challenge where some of us are at. So again, we've moved through Exodus, we moved through Leviticus, now we're in the 20th chapter of Numbers. The trend continues, by the way. God keeps using Moses to lead the people and to find breakthrough. And then in Numbers chapter 20, it says this: "In the first month of the year, the whole community of Israel arrived in the wilderness of Zin and camped at Kadesh. While they were there, Miriam died and was buried. There was no water for the people to drink at the place, so they rebelled against Moses and Aaron." That sounds familiar. "The people blamed Moses and said, 'If only we had died in the Lord's presence.'" See, all this time has passed. Same tone, same problem. "If only we died in the Lord's presence with our brothers. Why have you brought the congregation of the Lord's people into the wilderness to die along with all of our livestock? Why did you make us leave Egypt and bring us here to this terrible place? This land has no grain, no figs, no grapes, no Starbucks, no pomegranates, and no water to drink." That was in my version. "Moses and Aaron turned away from the people," probably a good decision. "They turned away from the people and they went to the entrance of the tabernacle where they fell face down on the ground. Then the glorious presence of the Lord appeared to them and the Lord said to Moses," now listen to what he says, "'You and Aaron must take the staff and assemble the entire community. As the people watch, speak to the rock over there and it will pour out its water. You will provide enough water from the rock to satisfy the whole community and their livestock.' So Moses did as he was told. He took the staff where it was kept before the Lord. Then he and Aaron summoned the people and came together at the rock. 'Listen, you rebels!'" Again, this is what the pastors wish they could say. He's shouting, "'Must we bring water from this rock?' Then Moses raised his hand and he struck the rock twice with the staff and water gushed out. So the entire community and their livestock drank their fill." Praise God, another miracle done through the leader of the people. It's so awesome. And so obviously God is about to give Moses some kudos, some accolades, because he's such a great leader. And in verse 12 it says, "'But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, because you did not trust me enough to demonstrate my holiness to the people of Israel.'" That seems disjointed. God doesn't seem excited. Let's find out. He says, "You will not lead them into the land that I've given them." Man, that's shocking. Miracle happens. Water comes from a rock and God says, "You didn't trust me." And hold on a second. This doesn't make sense. The miracle happened. In fact, it happened the same way it happened the last time. We read a very similar story, and yet this time, even though God was proud of Moses the first time, he wasn't excited about him the second time. So the big question that I have as I study the scriptures is I ask the Lord, what on earth was it that Moses did that cost him his ticket into the promised land? Because this was the moment. Everything was going great for Moses, and now all of a sudden, he's not going into the promised land. Simply said, Moses failed to graduate to the third level. The first level was to pick up your staff, to become comfortable with God using your identity. The second level was to learn to strike the rock and to become so comfortable with God using you that you could see breakthrough in a recurring way. And yet, here is God saying, you didn't graduate to the third place. Now, you have to begin to pay attention to see what it was that messed Moses up. But if you look back at verse 8, you have to read God's exact instructions. It says, "You and Aaron must take the staff and assemble the entire community." Okay, we got that. "As the people watch, speak to the rock over there, and it will pour out its water." Do you catch? He said, "Speak." And what does Moses do? Well, Moses comes and he yells at the people because he's an emotional leader. He hasn't had any emotional awareness training. He needs to be given a life coach and probably take a sabbatical. But it's not 2017, so he just yells. And then it says he strikes the rock how many times? Twice. The last time it was just once. This time proves that he was angry. Moses is acting out of anger. He's acting out of being discouraged and frustrated. But he was told to speak, right? See, every single time before, it was the staff that brought the miracle.
God said, lay it down, pick it up in a way that you have to trust me, and then I'm going to begin to use you and your identity. I'm going to begin to use you and your gifts and talents. So we have to understand that the issue that Moses had wasn't that he didn't understand God's instructions. Because in verse 12, when God responds, he says, your problem wasn't that you didn't understand what I told you to do. I'm God. I tend to be fairly clear. He said, the problem was that you didn't trust me. It's exactly what he says in verse 12. You didn't have enough faith. You didn't have enough belief. So Moses' problem was that he failed to graduate. Moses failed to obey God. And by the way, God is not interested in half of our obedience. He's not interested in us obeying half of what he said to us. He's interested in complete and full obedience. Amen? When Moses' story started, he was nervous. He was green in leadership. He didn't have experience. He didn't have confidence. So what God did was he gave him a staff to be a support. The problem was that what was given to him to be a support to his ministry at the beginning, over time, because he didn't graduate beyond it, it became a crutch that was holding him back. See, he was supposed to have moved on from this by now. He was supposed to have moved on to something completely different. And what I want to propose to you, and I'll go get the second thing for us visual people like me, that you'll understand exactly what it was that he was supposed to have graduated to. He was supposed to graduate to a sword. I just always wanted to do this. Hold on. I'm going to talk for a second right here. Is that okay? He was supposed to graduate to a sword. Now, this might seem a little bit disjointed for you. Let me explain what I mean. The sword is a metaphor, but it's also literal. The literal sword is what Moses should have graduated to be able to swing and stab people and kill armies of enemies in the promised land. See, the cost of not being fully obedient was that he didn't get into the promised land. And so because Moses didn't graduate to the third level, it cost him the ability to graduate from the staff to lead the people to the sword to lead the people. And so Joshua, whom you've been studying, Pastor Matt's been walking you through a series on Joshua, and you know Joshua's story, he's the guy that picked up the sword, right? In chapters 3 and 4 of Joshua's story, he leads him across, and the next thing that happens is they start taking the land, right? And you do that with a sword, not with a staff. So it was good that Moses had a guy that was ready to pick up the sword when Moses didn't get in. But it was Moses' failure that caused him to not be the one to carry the sword for the people into the land. So it represented a literal sword, but it also represented a symbolic sword. And let me actually give you a couple of scriptures that will support that. If you took a look on the screen at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, it says, put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is what? The word of God. And then also in Revelation chapter 1, verse 16, it says, as part of John's description of Jesus, as he turns around and sees Jesus standing there in his revelation, he, that's Jesus, held 7 stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth, and his face was shining like the sun in all of its brilliance. Now, if you look back at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17, the Greek word for word here is a word I've used already this morning. It's the word rhema. Rhema is God's specific or fresh word. So if you've ever been given a prophetic word by somebody, then you've been given a rhema word. Or if you've ever had like a sense about somebody and you have a word for somebody else, that's a rhema word, inspired by the Holy Spirit, given by God himself, so that out of your mouth can come the rhema word, which is the word for sword. In Ephesians 6, 17. And in Revelation 1, 16, the Greek word for mouth, that out of his mouth comes a double-edged sword, is the word stoma, S-T-O-M-A. Stoma literally means the front edge of a weapon. So Jesus doesn't have a literal sword in John's vision coming out of his mouth. He has what? The word of God coming out of his mouth. We believe that the word of God is breathed by God himself for our betterment. Amen? Also, by the way, if you read John chapter 1, you find out that Jesus is the word of God. And so everything he does and everything he says is the word of God. And out of his mouth comes a double-edged sword. I believe that when God told Moses to strike the rock with his staff,
that everything's fine. Use your gifts and talents and passions. That's the second level. The third level was that he was supposed to graduate from swinging his talents around, empowered by God, to speaking with a sense of authority. That's why he didn't want him to strike. He wanted him to speak. Because Moses, by this time, you should have graduated to swinging the sword. That's the third level. You should have graduated to swinging the sword. If I had more time with you today, I'd go all over the Bible and talk with you about how Paul and the author of Hebrews tells us about how we are expected to graduate and grow up. You can see all through Scripture that God wants us to grow up. And as I was praying for you, I felt like the Lord said, vintage faith, it is time to graduate. And I love this word because this word applies to me, it applies to Pastor Matt, it applies to the church as a whole, and it applies to every single individual sitting in this room and everyone who will ever listen to this on podcast. Every single human being is called to a graduation. Now, you might be brand new in your faith, and you might be a person that God would say to you, hey, step fully into level one. It was good that you got justified, that you gave your life to Jesus. I'm calling you to lay down your identity or to pick it up in a way that you would trust God so that God can begin to use you. If that's you, God is telling you today is graduation day. Now, you might be a little bit further down the road and maybe God is saying, you know what? You know what your gifts and passions are, but you haven't fully engaged them with my word and with my plan for your life. It's time for you to graduate into level two and become more comfortable with God using you for something good. Yes. Now, I happen to know, because this is a church with human beings in it, and my church has human beings in it as well, that I know that there's something that is true about some of the people in this church, that you have been walking with the Lord for a long time and yet not fully stepped into your calling. Yeah. And I know calling is a weird thing to talk about. It's kind of vague and ethereal. But I would venture to guess that if you have been a Christian for a number of years, that every single one of you knows why God put you on this earth. The question is whether or not you've stepped into having enough courage to begin to be used by God. And I think that because God said that this place is the real deal, I couldn't think of a better church in this area for you to be in that God would plant and root you into to become everything that God called and created you to become. But there's a third graduation, because some of you have been using your gifts for so long and you're relying on what you can do with your hands, and it's time to speak. In fact, if I may be so bold, Pastor Matt, I think there are some preachers in this room. And I don't mean the guys that have been preaching here as Pastor Matt's been putting his focus on the first priority of his life as he's got a new baby at home and so he hasn't been preaching here. I don't mean the guys that are filling in. I mean, there are people here who are called to be preachers, men and women alike. There are people here who are called to teach discipleship classes. There are people here who are purposed to begin to speak. And then there are others of you who keep looking to do and do and do, to have God partner with your actions to fix your problems. And for those of you, God would say, Selah. The word Selah means pause, that there is a graduation that comes when you stop fighting and you actually get into the fourth level of growing up that I don't have anywhere near enough time to get into today, which would be that you would graduate from the sword to the scepter and you function with so much authority that you almost don't even need to go to war against an enemy. You just say, hey, that issue, peace be still. It's the graduation that Jesus demonstrated when there was a storm and the disciples were freaking out in the boat and he stood up from taking a nap and in peace, he said, peace be still. But you have to have authority and peace to be able to release peace. Yeah. Right? So God is calling you as a church and he's calling us as individuals to graduate. And I think it would be highly appropriate for each of us as we stop right now and think about how God would speak to us as individuals, if we would ask the Lord if he would begin to tell us some things that we can do next. In fact, can we just close our eyes right now? Let's go ahead and do that. And can I just say, even if this word has meant nothing to you, you felt like you might have just wasted your whole morning, ask the person next to you to do some spiritual CPR on you, because you're probably dead. But I'm going to ask Pastor Matt if he would actually come and pray to wrap up this message, because it'd be good
for me, it'd be one thing for me to be able to say a prayer for you, but I think there's a weight of the man who carries the scepter for this house, the authority of leadership for this house, and the man who has carried the shepherding staff so well, and the man who has swung the sword for you and with you, if he would come and pray. So I'm done. I will continue to pray for you, but I'm going to ask if Pastor Matt would come, and you can even swing the sword a little bit if you want while you do it, but would you pray for your church?
Hey, thank you, Tim. One of the things I heard Tim say is that many of us have an opportunity to ask God that question, what's next? Like, what's the next thing that you have in front of me, Lord? I mean, have you asked that question in a while? God, what's next? Or are you just kind of in a stagnation time of your life? And I think there's a what next for lots of us. What next? God, how can I use my gifts next? How can I graduate? How can I move to that next good thing you have for me? And I know that this is terrifying because it's stepping out of your comfort zone and it's stepping into a season of necessitating the power of God in your life. And that's terrifying. But has God ever left you high and dry in any moment of your life?
No.
I mean, I can't imagine that he will in the future either. So just right where you are, I just want to pray for you. And God, we just thank you for your word that has come today to bring some encouragement and some alignment and some of a challenge. And God, we say yes to you. Whatever the things are you have for us, we say yes to you for those that have been called to kind of level up, to move into that next area of authority and leadership. God, I pray that you'll give them that urging, that prompting, and more than that, that you'll empower them to rest in it. And so God, for whatever season of life all of us are in, God, you've called us higher. You've called us to greater holiness, greater reverence, greater authority in our lives. So God, where you lead, we'll follow.
Yes.
Where you lead, we'll follow. And God, I just affirm all those things that Tim said, that there are people here with untapped potential. And you're sitting on your gifts. You're not enjoying your gifts. And isn't that a shame? So God, come. Give us direction. Give us vision for the future. God, help us to be a church that celebrates the unique contributions of every single person. And that we're a church that releases people into fruitful ministry in every season of life. And God, I thank you for the good things you did in our ministry time earlier, the anointing oil, it breaks the bondage of sin and it brings healing. So we claim for every healing word spoken, we claim its authority in Jesus' name. Every emotional brokenness, we claim its healing in Jesus' name. Every situation that seems too big, we thank you, God, that you're bigger. And so, God, give us your heavenly perspective. Help us be your church, reflecting your goodness to everybody, everywhere.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Amen. I just wanted to thank Tim and Sharon for coming over here and skipping out on your church.
Yeah.
Your leadership team has been texting me, things are a mess. You need to get back. It's a disaster. Just stay, actually, just stay. But thank you guys. And then Mike and Kristen, Christy, thanks for coming and using your gifts. We really appreciate it. Thanks for coming and blessing us with your talents. And church, go and be the church this week.
Yeah.
All right? Yeah.